Hello and welcome to the Investors Chronicle Companies and Markets Show. I'm Stephen Wilmot, Companies Editor, standing in for our usual presenter, John Heumann, who's busy moving house as we speak. This week's cover feature focuses on what has to be the biggest story to have hit the world of personal finance for years, pensions freedom. The fact that people with SIPs and other personal pensions no longer need to buy an annuity with their tax-free savings. But before we look at that, I'd like to welcome digital editor Graham Davies to discuss what's been happening on the market this week. Hello, Graham.
Hello, Stephen.
So last week, the FTSE finished above 7,000 at an all-time high, which was the FT used as its lead in FT Weekend.
Indeed, every newspaper. We don't go in for hyperbole, do we?
Exactly. And that was because last week, nothing to do with the budget, but all to do with the Fed's dovish comments. In last Wednesday's meeting, but this week's been a bit different. Actually, the index is off quite strongly today.
It is today, yeah. I mean, it started the week pretty strongly. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah. It kept ticking up, and everyone's saying, "Oh, it's holding above 7,000." You know, this looks promising. Is this the new baseline? And then, there was signs from Europe that things were looking a bit better there. And then overnight, we got news that Saudi Arabia's been sending bombs into Yemen to try and sort out a localized issue there, which could become much bigger. And then the market's taken flight today, really, off over a percent.
So it's more this the oil price has obviously risen sharply,
yeah.
Which is interesting that that's been the catalyst more than the Eurozone issues, which have also sort of started featuring in the broadsheet newspapers a bit more than they had been.
Yeah, I think the oil price has really leapt up, and I think it's that localized issue in the Arabian Peninsula could become a global issue because it's the oil price is so sensitive to events in Saudi and in that general area. But as you say, I mean, Europe, there were signs earlier this week that confidence is growing in Europe and Purchasing Managers Index beat expectations. So it looks like the Eurozone economic recovery might just be taking hold.
Justifying the amazing increase in share prices we've seen in the,
yes, exactly.
In the first quarter.
And confidence is coming back. We did our chart of the week this week on the German IFO survey of business confidence, which is quite influential in Germany. And it looks like German businessmen are becoming confident once again that maybe recovery on its way. But as Daniel Liberto has pointed out in our new spotlight this week, the Greek issue
is unresolved.
It's unresolved. Still unresolved. We promised weeks ago we were going to stop talking about Greece, but we can't ignore it forever. And I don't think Europe is going to be able to ignore it forever. Talks have gone on. I think the Greek Prime Minister has promised to deliver some more detail on reforms by Monday. So it's not going away, Stephen.
And neither is Warren Buffett, so it seems.
No, yeah, that was another interesting news piece which sort of emerged yesterday. Warren Buffett and his partners at 3G Capital, Brazilian investors, in fact, interestingly, they own Heinz, the maker of the ketchup, which wants to buy Kraft, the maker of the cheese slices. It's an interesting combination. I've never had a Kraft cheese slice and ketchup sandwich myself before, but this could create a huge, globally significant food business worth about $100 billion.
Shows the enduring appeal of consumer staples as well as a hedge against uncertain times.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Warren Buffett, again, you know, he likes to buy brands. And this is, you know, Kraft is a big brand. So it's an interesting deal, which I think would make the fifth biggest food and beverage business in the world if it comes off. And there's at the moment, there's little sign that it wouldn't come off. So we'll wait and see on that one, I think.
One of the other big news stories of the week was, of course, zero inflation.
In the UK.
In the UK,
yes. Indeed. Long expected, but it arrived in February and may go further. It was welcomed by the politicians. George Osborne said it was a good thing for families, more money in the pocket.
And in fact, there was evidence that it has been a positive rather than negative on the high street. It wasn't there today in today's retail spending figures.
Yes, interesting.
Up 7%.
Ooh, I wish.
Yeah. Well, almost on a year.
Indeed.
Year on year. Was it 5 point something year
retail
on year?
Sales, yeah. 5.1% up year on year in February. But month to month from January to February, they were up 0.7%. So it looks like people, that extra money in people's pockets from the lower petrol price and the effect of retail price inflation pretty much disappearing is encouraging people to get out there and spend some money.
This seems a good time to introduce Julia Bradshaw, our retail writer, to the picture.
Hello.
Hello, Julia. Now, we've had quite a few results from retailers this week. Are we seeing this positive picture emerge, the fact that we've got real wage growth again in the UK? Is that in evidence in retailers' results?
It's a bit of a mixed picture because, hypothetically speaking, it is good news that wages are now rising in real terms.
They're more looking forward than looking back, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. For instance, when I covered Next results last week, I spoke to management and they said, yes, this is great. This is a great macroeconomic trend, but has it filtered down into the high street, into people's pockets to spend on discretionary items such as clothing? No, not yet. We're not seeing that. Mm-hmm. So it might be that there's a time lag, or it might be that people are just still quite savvy. They're still slightly recession hit and they're choosing not to sort of go out and splurge, or maybe they just want to spend their money on other stuff. Maybe they're prioritizing things like home improvements rather than clothes. So I think we're also going to see kind of a difference between how each sort of subsector within the retail sector does. Maybe the sort of home improvement Topps Tiles of the world is maybe doing a little bit better than the clothing retailers. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Topps Tiles,
I was going to say, did we work out why Topps shares fell quite sharply yesterday?
We didn't. It was a mystery because the results were good. Current trading was fine. So all I can say is perhaps it was profit taking.
Yeah. Mm. One analyst's note I looked at suggested that it was management's very cautious guidance about the UK election. We discussed this morning.
We did, yes. They did say, of course, there could be some volatility because of the political changes that might be coming. But then again, everyone's saying that. Every single management team in their forward guidance has said, oh, by the way, there might be some political risk. But I mean,
it seems so unlikely to hit
the retail sector,
isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as we were discussing, possibly if we get a change in government and they put up corporation tax, or if they change national insurance contributions, that sort of thing, yes, maybe that will have an effect on the bottom line. But that's very sort of into the future.
Mm-hmm. They've all this week promised that they're not going to
ruled
increase
out,
VAT.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's one.
Indeed, they have.
That will
indeed,
help.
They have.
And Ted Baker also had very good results.
Ted Baker had really solid results. And Ted Baker is one of our tips. It's a very expensive stock, but we advise buying on quality because it is a very well-run business, very conservatively run, that has a good brand and a sort of solid but slow growth story. And it just keeps reporting very good sales growth.
But interestingly, that's not really the cyclical UK consumer story, is it?
It's
more a quality... steady.
It is. And I wouldn't say the stuff you buy at Ted Baker isn't exactly high street, somewhere in between high street and luxury. It's more expensive.
Yeah, how do they pitch themselves? They're not luxury, they're...
Well, they're technically personal good, aren't they? They're they're more up there with Burberry, but
they make a certain amount with licensing, don't they, rather than...
They do. They only
retail.
They don't have that many stores, actually. They're very cautious about how they open stores and where they open stores, and each store is very much a destination, so they're very different than the normal high street retailers.
Of course, there's another way to play the UK consumer story, and that's through the lenders, the niche lenders. We've talked at length about the main high street banks before, but this week we saw a number of results come out from the smaller lenders, people like SNU, Secure Trust. This is, I suppose, a good point at which to reintroduce Ian Smith, who joined us a couple of weeks back and has been looking at these companies.
Hi, Stephen. Yeah, definitely. I mean, following on from Julia's comments, I suppose if people aren't splurging their free cash on clothes, perhaps what they're doing is splurging them that money on a new set of wheels. And we definitely saw SNU this week, which is also a buy tip, doing really well as a result of people taking out credit on a car. Yeah, that's definitely one side of this kind of improving wage growth, improving employment, feeding through to good results for the lenders. And Secure Trust as well has a motor finance business that's done very well. And they've also done very well in retail finance. So unsecured lending to fund shopping sprees for people. So there is some of that feeding through. And yeah, the niche lenders are really benefiting.
We had figures this week that we pointed out in the 7-day section about the level of household debt in the UK reached an all-time high at the end of 2014, £239 billion, or almost £9,000 per household. And yeah. PricewaterhouseCoopers said that's likely to be more like £10,000 by next year, so signs that the niche lenders are going to have a good conditions, for a prolonged period.
And we've got SNU on a buy, and interestingly, we don't have Secure Trust on a buy, and I mean, that's for a quite interesting reason. It's because our Arbuthnot Bank owns
52%.
Yeah, right. Go on, Ian.
Yeah, so Arbuthnot owns 52% of Secure Trust, but I mean, we just think Secure Trust shares at 18 times forward earnings. I mean, the market value of Secure Trust is £546 million, pounds, which is more than twice as much as the market value of Arbuthnot, which owns 52% of Secure Trust. So work that puzzle out. Mm.
The value way of playing the growth that Secure Trust is through Arbuthnot.
Yeah. Exactly right.
That's something Simon Thompson has written about at length in the magazine. It's one of his favourites, Arbuthnot, for exactly that value reason.
And they've also, on the other side of their business are smaller, but they have had stronger growth in assets under management within its wealth management business too. Primarily it's a play on Secure Trust.
Mm. And since you're there, Ian, let's move back to the cover feature, Pensions Freedom, because Ian also writes about the life insurers. And obviously they, if ever there was an example of how politics can affect stocks, it was a year ago, wasn't it, when they fell almost to half after the budget. Sorry, that was some of the specialist lenders, but the more mainstream life insurers have performed much better and have been steadily making a recovery. And anyway, you've been looking at the reasons for that, haven't you, Ian?
Yeah, so I mean, the story is last year's budget, as you say, had a big effect on especially the specialist annuity providers, but also the mainstream
providers. Which is Partnership
providers.
Assurance.
Yeah, Partnership and Just Retirement.
And Just Retirement, yeah.
But this year's budget, the big question running up to it, we talked about a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, was whether or not people would be able to trade in their annuities, potentially a very bad thing for life insurers. But I think, as you discussed last week, the way this was actually played in the budget, the original provider is going to have to sign off on any deal, and the original contract on the annuity is not going to be broken. What this amounts to is that it's kind of business as usual for life insurers. Last year's budget had a much bigger effect, and we saw that in the results season, the decline in individual annuity sales. But my piece this week is really talking about the other areas of life insurers' business which are a bit more than making up for the losses in individual annuities. So life insurers that have a big asset management arm like Standard Life Investments, or have other kind of drawdown products, or are moving into equity release like L&G. So all of these different areas of their business will have good international operations as
like
well.
Prudential,
which is one of our buy tips. Life insurers built to last with the headline we put on it. And we think these companies are more than able to evolve with the times. I think it was kind of a little bit of blessed relief for life insurers this time around at the budget.
And Julia has also looked at a slightly more fun angle on this whole Pensions Freedom business, which is that actually the release of these cash pots effectively could fund the purchase of consumer goods, benefiting some companies.
Yes, indeed, I have. I've spoken to a few companies, and while most of them aren't really including in their forecasts any kind of massive tailwind from these pension freedoms, a lot of them anecdotally are saying yes. I mean, it is a potential that, given that maybe a retired couple can take out a few grand, maybe they'll choose now to spend that on a new car, not a Lamborghini perhaps, but a more efficient sort of economical car for themselves, or double glazing even.
So Inchcape would be a
Lookers, Pendragon, Virtue Motors, those kinds of companies. I covered Safe Styles results today, and I spoke to the management team, and they very much said that they believe that they might get more business.
Safe Style
to their business. They do
double
glazing, and they're moving into conservatories as well, which is interesting.
Absolutely, your retirement dream.
Exactly. Well, you don't want those drafts coming through, so better get that double glazing in. And holidays as well, cruises, for instance.
Carnival
or even Saga. which is an insurance provider for the over 50s and does cruises as well. So that's a potential. So yeah, there are a few. I mean, is there going to be a massive, massive boost in consumer spending? Probably not, but you know, it can't hurt.
One would hope not.
No, it can't hurt. Basically, is what a lot of sort of retailers are telling me at the moment. But the other thing I wanted to add as well, going back to Graham's point about credit and how unsecured credit is rising, that's quite interesting for retailers such as SCS and DFS, who recently listed, and indeed a company like SafeStyle.
These are the sofa guys.
Yeah, because a lot of their business, most of their business is through credit, is sold on credit. And when credit is free and flowing, people are able to spend money. So that's something else to bear in mind.
So all those pensioners will be sitting on a nice new sofa in their conservatory in months to come then.
That's right.
Hopefully reading the Investors Chronicle.
With a new Vauxhall Corsa parked outside.
I wonder, whether there will be any impact of people taking that pensions lump sum on these kind of niche lenders that I'm looking at. You know, will it encourage people to spend a bit of that money on a car? Will that actually account
reduce
against?
The demand?
Yeah,
would it reduce the demand
for credit post-April? It might be something to keep an eye on. But at the same time, it might be a little lump sum towards kind of taking out a loan on a car. So, yeah, time will tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots to think about, and there's plenty more in this week's issue. An interesting piece on the Falklands, where things are hotting up again, from Mark Robinson.
Yeah, I think we get first, by sometime around Easter weekend, we're going to get the drilling results from the wonderfully named Zebedee well out there. Who knows whether that will bounce.
Very good. Of course, much of the cover feature this week has been written by our personal finance team, which have their own podcast, so do have a listen to that to keep up to speed on how exactly you should be using your pension pot rather than buying an annuity, or perhaps you should be buying an annuity. That is the question. Obviously, we've explored the company's angle, but they explore the choice that you have to make. So lots to digest in one of the most important decisions that people make for their retirement. And next week, we look forward to writing about, and indeed speaking on this podcast, about the effect of politics on shares. And we mentioned the life insurers, but will the general election have a impact on the stock market? I mean, everyone expects it to, but the question, I guess, is how exactly? And at the moment, stocks are obviously serenely gliding upwards.
Apart from tiles.
Yes, apart from tiles, but... Yes, well, there may be other things there. But anyway, yeah, that will be the focus of the cover feature next week. So look out for that. Another key question for your investment portfolio. That's all from us.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.